right, and this is actually from the audience, but I thought it was a good time to ask this, just because it is a good follow-up to the question that we just had as the biggest threat to Cherry County. The follow-up is, how would you go about stopping these outside threats? And so we'll go ahead and start, I guess, the next one, I believe, is Mike. Is that right?
Yes, Mike, if you would answer that one. This is kind of a throw-in, but a follow-up. I'm sure you've got some more shop thoughts on that.
Yeah, I really don't have the answers for that. That's where I would lean on the five-person board that I was proposing. When one person's shortfall, which I have a shortfall with the answer on this question, the four other individuals, I'd lean on them to help me direction. I believe that you can hold some of the federal overreach back. As Tanya stated, is these grants, in my opinion, there's no such thing as free money. They always come with a something attached to them. So I believe you can mitigate some of that that way. I guess that's pretty much everything I've got on that issue.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Let's go to James Ward and have you answer that follow-up, if you would, please, James. How would I stop these outside threats? Hold tight to our values. We're conservatives. We can push back and push back. At the local level, which we did on the 30 by 30, we were one of the first counties to oppose the 30 by 30. I don't know if everybody's aware of that. We the front on the 30 by 30 issue. We had a lady come in that really opened our eyes. There was a conference here, it was American Stewards of Liberty, Margaret Byfield, and that's the way we can push back. We have to educate everyone, hold close to our values, and stay true to our conservative roots.
Okay, thank you, James. Go back over here to Nina Nelson and your follow-up to that, Nina.
All right. Well, again, kind of maybe a repeat of what I said earlier, to unite, to stand strong, as well as to communicate. If the different people are educated, it's a lot less likely for the people that are trying to come in to be successful. So if everybody stays educated, if everybody has their eyes open, if we're able to share our experiences, if we're able to share our knowledge, if we are able to withstand whatever it is that is coming our way, just like the 30-30, I mean, it's a strong push, but there's been a lot of people from the top down. Governor Ricketts has done this job for the state to hold that at bay. The senators are trying to all be united on that one. I mean, just there's a lot of the same ideas out there, and so far I have yet to hear from a person that's actually supporting this. So if we can be that strong in a subject like that, I think it shows us that if we stand strong for other issues, we will also succeed. So that's pretty much where I'm standing on that one. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Nina. And finally, Shane. I guess we got Shane and Tanya to go yet here. So, Shane, you've been jotting some notes down. I'm looking for some words of wisdom here.
Words of wisdom, yeah. How do we stop these threats from the outside? Push back against government regulations. Don't enact mandates that don't align with our county's ideals. You know, grassroots starts at the local level. I mean, we just got to push back and stand true to our roots and our values and hold the line.
Okay. And Shane Daniel, thank you. Over to Tanya, finally, on this follow-up question on how do you withstand these threats?
Yeah, I think I agree with a lot of things that have been said. And many of you may remember about 15 years ago, I think in this very room, we had a little meeting where a good friend of mine and I started speaking out on some of the environmental issues that we saw coming down the pike and some of these threats. So 30 is a new name, old plan. So having understood that and followed that for the last 15 years, there's some things you just don't want to be right about, but it's here, and the right people are in place in the federal government to try and push this through. I had met Margaret Byfield about 15 years ago during that time, and so we were very fortunate, again, as James said, to have her come to Cherry County, She's assisting with rewriting our comprehensive land use plan. And Margaret and I had a little conversation back before Christmas, and she said, what do you think about a national summit in Lincoln? And I said, I think it's a great idea. And so we're hosting, American Stewards of Liberty is hosting the governor as well, a national summit to be held on Earth Day. We thought that was very appropriate in Lincoln, Nebraska, a great lineup of speakers. I'm very honored to be one of them, but I'm the littlest guy on the block. And so there's some tremendous people that will be speaking, including former Secretary of Interior Barnhart. We have people from the Heritage Foundation as well. So I would encourage you to mark that on your calendar. In addition to just being in tune with that and taking proactive action, read the fine print. Anytime we sign off on something in the county level, we need to be reading the fine print and understanding exactly what we're agreeing to. So never assume anything. We've had a few lengthy discussions and in some recent board meetings over questions about fine print, and the individual presenting that said, gosh, no other county ever questions this, they just sign it. Well, welcome to Cherry County. And so we do work through things rather thoroughly. And, you know, just creating and continuing to create that economic environment that brings our kids back, I can't stress it enough. When they're here, when things are competitive, there's less incentive for outside influences to come.
All right, thank you. Well, we're going to go to a longer question now. And so this will be, if I need to repeat it, you know, feel free to ask me to repeat this. But Cherry County has a long history of respecting landowners' property rights. Can you give us your definition of private property rights when it comes to A, selling or donating land or easements to entities of their choice, B, solar or wind energy or natural gas development, C, conversions of natural grasslands to recreation use, and D, expansion of privately held livestock feeding facilities? So, again, those are the four different subjects. Sean, we might give them a little over the 2 minutes on this because it's going to be a little more in-depth on that. But, again, concerning property rights and let's see, where do we go? Is James on this one here? I think James Ward gets to start answering the long question here.
Well, I'm going to apologize because I have a law background. Private property rights means that the owner has the exclusive authority to determine how property is used. So you can't define private property rights without defining what private property is. Private property is property that is protected from public appropriation. What's not included in the definition of private property is you controlling your neighbor, the government controlling your property. As far as selling or donating land or easements are a tool that is used throughout this country, throughout our county, from everything from fiber optic lines to phone lines. What I don't agree with is easements in perpetuity. Whenever you put a conservation easement on a piece of ground and it's in perpetuity, that's a violation of a common law rule against perpetuities is what it's called. It's a rule of 21. It says you can't affect an estate 21 years after the last living person that was a party to that transaction. What a rule in perpetuities is there to prevent is someone doing something and locking it up forever. Once conservation easement on a piece of property in perpetuity, it is a one-time payment today for the next 100 years worth of growth. I like to equate it to this. Everybody's pretty familiar with, say, Lincoln, Nebraska. In 1993, when I went to college in Lincoln, everything north of Cornhusker Highway was farm ground and fields. A couple of ranch houses, farmhouses, stuff like that, all the way to the interstate. If a conservation easement had been placed on that ground in perpetuity for the last 30 years, there would have been no development. There would have been no growth, no new businesses, no new school, no new revenue, no growth for the city of Lincoln in that direction. The other dramatic way of looking at it is, what if the people of the original 13 colonies says, oh my gosh, look out west, how beautiful it is. Let's put a conservation easement on it. None of us would be sitting in this room right now because there would have been no opportunity for the future generations to develop the land.
Thank you, James. Let's go over to Nina and your comments on that question with those various aspects to it.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask, because I have like four different aspects here, so I was just making sure we're supposed to answer to all of them.
Just address all of them, if you would, please.
Okay, perfect. Well, yes, 100% support property rights as long as they do not infringe with your neighbors' quiet and peaceful enjoyment of their property, as well as their fresh air, as well as their clean water. So there are definitely a few things that a person needs to watch out when we talk about property rights, because there are several really good zoning regulations in Cherry County that we cannot ignore. And so it also remains with the long-standing egg production. It's the first thing on our agenda. I mean, that's what our comprehensive plan says, the use of grassland. And as James mentioned, easements are definitely a danger to that in various ways. It can take the tax money out of the pool and leave a burden for the others to carry. Several other counties have had huge issues with that, where they have not been as diligent as Cherry County to keep easements at bay. So that is definitely something we need to watch out for in easements, and the easements in perpetuity are about as evil as it gets for future generations. So that is something that has been addressed also on a legislature level, I believe. So it is something that we need to watch on the county level. In regards to the solar and wind as well as gas, I think solar is a lot less invasive as wind than the wind is, and quite obviously there's big issues and fights in the county about the wind. So it is something that needs to be continuously addressed. It is something that puts a big burden again on the neighbors. So we should not let that just slide. We need to pay attention to that, and we need to be on top of that to protect everybody's rights, not just the people that want them big things on their property. In regards to the other point of coexisting with recreation as well as grassland, I think there can be a happy medium. Again, we don't want to take the grassland just for recreation. We don't want to take the grassland out of its production. So that is important to have it coexist with hiking, with river use, with hunting, all of those things. And last but not least, the feeding facilities. Guys, we need to stand within regulations. 2,000 AUMs is our current regulations, and I like to see that being kept.
Okay, thank you, Nina. And Shane, your comments on those particular points?
Well, I'll try to talk fast. Property rights, yeah, I believe you have the absolute right to do what you want with your own property. That being said, you can't infringe on your neighbor's property rights, so doing something on your property that devalues your neighbor's isn't right. Point A, selling, donating land, selling easements. It's also your right as a landowner. I personally have a conservation easement on my property. It just basically ensures that my ranch will stay a working Sandhills ranch. It does not affect my day-to-day decisions. It's just there to make sure that it stays a Sandhills ranch. And like I said, I wouldn't even be here. So easements, you got to make that for your own use, if that's what you so choose. Just, I'm going to tell you from my experience, pay attention to wording. Wording is very important. Solar, wind, natural gas, as long as you don't force your neighbor to have roads, power lines, etc. across their property to get your towers built or electricity out. Natural grasslands to recreation, very touchy in my view. Overuse will definitely cause erosion. We have a very fragile ecosystem, and you know, we're the best stewards for the land. We know that compaction keeps our grass growing and our sand from blowing. Livestock facilities, as long as they follow zoning regulations, I have no problem with them.
All right. Thank you, Shane. And on to Tanya's store, that question about your landowner's property rights and those four different avenues.
Yeah, I'll try and sort of address each one of those, but it's probably going to fall within my general comments. But the number one thing that comes to my mind when we're talking about these issues, it doesn't matter, we could make this a list of 10 or 15 issues, but it's freedom. Simple answer, it's freedom. Socialism is the government telling you what to do with your land. That's what socialism is. Generally, the people who are calling to preserve and to save something don't own it. And they typically live somewhere in the city oftentimes, or outside of the county, or outside of the state. So take a tally and just think about when you see that perpetrated or pushed or touted, whose property are they asking to save or preserve, their own or yours? Socialism is sort of the key word. Conservation easements are unique in this list. Certainly, I think, you know, there's been folks that have entered in and have had so far a positive experience. It's been on my radar for years, and it showed up as one of the few identified tools in the Biden administration's 30 by 30 plan in terms of identifying one of the tools they would use to put 30% of the land and water in this country under some sort of permanent protection. That means putting it in a form that they control it forever and don't use it, and you don't use it. And so, you know, when I was first elected, property rights has always been my number one passion, and I sort of gave myself this promise that any decision I would have to make that would involve property rights, I would have a litmus test. Does it weaken property rights? Does it strengthen them, or is it neutral? I can live with neutral. I can certainly get behind strengthened. I will not support something that weakens anyone's property rights. And property rights are not just about landowners. We all think that that's just those ranchers out there. Property rights are fundamental to everybody's freedom. It's your house. It's your intellectual rights. It's your pets, for that matter. So if they come for your property rights first, and it's your neighbor, the next thing that the government's going to start telling you what to do is with your kids, and we've already seen it with some of the proposed sex ed standards. So we have to be tuned in, and we have to draw a line in the sand. This involves everyone, whether you own a acre of land or not. Property rights affect you. And so first and foremost, how I would address all of those is keeping government out of your way as much as possible and letting you do what you want with your property.
All right. Thank you, Tanya. And I think finally on that question, Mike?
When it comes to the, it's simple to me. Personal property rights are the major, they're the only right that I think we have as landowners in Cherry County. It's a fine line between the one personal property right compared to another. How we ever deem whose personal property rights, if you want to do something on your land and your neighbor is totally against it, I would hope that someday there'd be a common ground. But I don't think that we can ever infringe on the personal property rights. Simple put, James said it the other night, if you take one guy's personal property rights, it's government overreach when you take those rights from that individual. So on the selling of the easements, I guess it's, in my opinion, it's your personal property rights. You own the land, you can sell the easement. I guess it goes with your property, the solar, the wind. If you want solar or wind on your property, I guess you're going to live with the legacy that you put it on there, I guess. It's zoned into the county. I personally don't like the wind. It's my own personal opinion, but it's zoned in. Can't hold it back. The conversion of national grasslands to recreation use, I just hate the thoughts of it. I would just as soon see the grassland. It's this Cherry County is beef cows. I like to see beef cows on the property. And D, the expansion of privately held livestock facilities, I think it's extremely important that they stay privately held. I think as long as the livestock facilities, whatever type of livestock they were, if it's privately held by a Cherry County resident, I don't think there's going to be any issues. But stay within the zoning laws. If not, lobby to get the zoning laws to grow to the size of the operation that you need. But once again, your personal property rights are the most important thing.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Okay. That answers that big question there. And we'll check and see if there's anything else. Again, if any of the public that's here tonight, if you have questions you'd like to submit, there's a paper there. You can hand them in up here, and we'll try to work them in. We're going to take probably another half an hour or so, and we'll get to some of those as we move along here. Property taxes, let's talk about that. We've mentioned that a few different times. So property taxes are a major concern for most of Cherry County residents. What is your plan to hold those taxes or possibly reduce those taxes? And I think we're back over to start with Nina Nelson.
All right. Well, property taxes, as Nebraska is one of probably the worst states for taxes. If I had a good answer to this one, it's kind of the million-dollar question here. I'd probably be running for governor instead of county commissioner. But irregardless, there are several different bills, again, in legislature right now that are giving us a little bit of relief here, or trying to anyways. But for the county level to try to get out of this tax jam, we just have to try to figure out how to watch the budget really close, and evaluate where we're sitting with the levy. If there are any kind of breaks being given to large operations or whatever that maybe are not necessary, to just make it even for everybody, to help the little guys out. Just, I don't know, have a really close look at what's being done. But other than that, I am just really hoping and praying for tax reform in Nebraska. It's been on the table forever and a day, and I think the consumption tax deal that is out there right now is something to be considered, as long as there are good strongholds in place to keep some of the monies coming in locally. But what they're proposing is absolutely phenomenal, between the no property tax, no inheritance tax, no income tax, no sales tax, no business-to-business tax, just a across-the-board tax of 9.8% for all new goods. As long as we can keep the local control on our money, I truly think it is something to be considered, and we would actually be starting a good thing with taxes instead of always ending last on taxes in Nebraska. So that's my hope, anyways.
All right, thank you, Nina. And over to Shane Daniels, your comment on property taxes and a plan maybe to hold those taxes or possibly.
Well, if there was an easy answer to property taxes, that'd have been done decades ago, obviously. Locally, you know, no increases, keep our spending in check. Obviously, there's talk at the state level of a consumption tax, you know, find that fair way to spread the load, not rely so heavily on the property owners. But like I said, the main thing is the budget right here at the local level. Just keep our spending in check and no increases.
You're done?
Yeah.
Oh, short and sweet. All right. Let's go over to Tanya Storer and your thoughts on this property tax issue.
The general thoughts? Is that the
question? Well, now, however you want to direct it, Tanya, that's fine.
There's a lot of directions to go, but, you know, we're here at a county commissioner forum, and so to stay focused on what's within our control, we're the first line of defense. Is our property tax system in Nebraska broken? Absolutely. But as county commissioners, we can go lobby for changes, but we have to do what's within our prerogative, and I would say my track record speaks to itself. I am proud to have served on a board of three for the last going on 8 years, so 7 budgets, and we've decreased the levy. We had a jail bond that got paid off early, and so that allowed us to take that down. The tax ask my first year was $5.2 million. The tax ask this last fiscal year was $4.3 million. So since my time, it's went down. In all fairness, that was because we paid off the jail bond. So if you look at the next budget, the next year, and it was $4.1 million. And so we've seen less, just a tick, right at 5% increase over 7 years. So we're keeping our increases under inflationary rates. I don't know that we could possibly ask for anything more. We have to sit, and again, we have to sit at a table and make decisions as county commissioners, and sometimes some people don't like to hear the answers. But if you're making tough decisions to be that first line of defense to control spending, you've got to be very conscientious. You know, we had some requests for 18% raises that we didn't give. That made some folks upset. But we didn't feel that was in the best interest of taxpayers. And so that's my number one concern. I work for you. I am a fiscal conservative. And again, in my 7 budgets I've sat in on, we've kept our increases under inflationary rates. That's what I will continue to do.
Thank you, Tanya. Let's go over to Mike McConaughey for that question.
The personal property taxes, there's so many dollars of our personal, our personal property taxes that we have little or no control over as the commissioners. I mean, the schools are the major concern. They're the major take from the personal property taxes. I would like to possibly sit down with some of the superintendents and see if there's possibly some cost savings without hurting anything, that that maybe we could keep the schools in check. Their levies just continue to go up, which automatically means your personal property tax is going up. They have kept the spending in the county level down to a bare minimum. But when almost 70% of your taxes are going to the schools, I think we need to look at the schools and see if there's something that we can work around and try to cheapen the bill up for the people. I don't see there's much more cutting that you can do at the county level to make that much difference in your property taxes. Let's go for the big fish. I'm a true believer in the Epic tax. Whether it'll ever pass, I don't know. But 70% of your land taxes are going to your schools. Let's take a look at the big take and quit. I worry that we're trying to keep the taxes so low that we're missing opportunities or losing people to other jobs because we're so afraid of raising the taxes at the county level that these people are going elsewhere. So I'd like I guess I'd start with talking to the three school districts that draw out of this county to see if we could bring their spending down.
Okay, thank you, Mike. And finally, James Ward, your answer to that question?
County commissioner controls county tax ask. When you talk about the levy moving, I'm very proud of the fact that the levy has gone down. And the reason that levy has gone down is because we have held the tax ask at the same amount. From 21 to 22, the tax increase was $6,633 for the county. That's almost a flat zero increase in tax. There were raises given, there were increases in spending, but we were able to hold that by finding savings in other spots. Being fiscally conservative means you watch spending. You watch what you're spending, and that in turn translates to a lower levy. The levy is based off our valuations when we're taxed. So we get a mandate from the state of Nebraska. It's an unfunded mandate. It costs you and I as taxpayers in Cherry County almost $100,000 to go have all of the properties in Cherry County reassessed. And we get told we have to do that. Well, that increased assessed value, if we just sat here and held your levy at this same amount, there would be a rainy day fund because we would have an increase in the tax amount. Your property taxes would go up. So what I focus on as a board member is holding that dollar figure, the amount of money that we're spending as a county, being accountable for every dollar, not just the big picture, the micro picture, looking at where you can get cost savings. Where can I save a day for a guy on a motor grader on a piece of road just by investing a little bit of money in the front end?
Thank you, James. All right, we're going to move on to a new question. This is going to be a short question. It is, please share your definition of progress for Cherry County, and please give some examples, if you would, please. Please share your definition of progress for Cherry County and give some examples. And we started with Nina, so I think Shane, you're up to bat.
You bet. Another pretty simple response from me, and we've been talking about all night, keep our taxes in line, keep our spending in check. Jobs, housing, we've got to figure out a way to bring people back to Cherry County that they can make an honest living and a decent house to live in and put kids back in the school and bring people back. So just got to figure out those ways. Do I have an answer to that on how to do that? Not specifically, no. I will gladly listen to people's ideas and concerns on that and dig in and find a way to try to do that.
Thank you, Shane. And Tanya, your comments on that question of progress and some examples.
Well, progress is growth. It's moving forward. And it's providing that opportunity, again, to to grow businesses, for entrepreneurs, for the folks here. Part of it is our tax structure. I believe you should keep more of the money you earn, because when you keep more of it, you have it to reinvest into your into yourself, into your communities, and so taxes in check. But also, you know, we do have some measure of effect on the regulatory environment in this county, and we need to be sure that it's a welcoming environment for business to make a decision to come here. When a new business comes to Cherry County, it brings jobs. It brings an increase in the tax base. Those jobs, those dollars turn over, I believe it's like 7 times in an economy. And so it's regulatory, it's tax structure, and not picking winners and losers from the standpoint from our seat. There's been issues that are very clear to everyone in this room, but every time that we needed to make a decision, my job is to be sure we're following the law, that we're being fair. It's not to give thumbs up or thumbs down or pick winners and losers. That's government telling you what to do. That's socialism, and I won't lead that way. And so at the end of the day, you know, 10 years from now, we want to know that our tax base is increased. We'd like to see an increase in jobs in this community. We want to ensure that the infrastructure's here, that's schools, that's healthcare, that's broadband, and roads. And so it's a combination of several things.
Okay, thank you, Tanya. And over to Mike on that question.
Yeah, my definition of progress in Cherry County, I'm an old school guy. I kind of like the way Cherry County is right now. I want Cherry County to stay to almost the same as what it is. I want my kids to have the same opportunities as what I've had. I believe every time that a new opportunity or a new industry comes, it comes with a whole nother list of problems that we hadn't thought of, that our infrastructure is not set up for, our rural schools are not set up for. I'd like to see the tax base get lower. I'd like to see people in the agriculture business start making some money so their kids want to come back because they can see that they can start a family. Agriculture has been the driving force of Cherry County for so many years. I want to see it stay. I don't want to see it go away. And the only way I can say progress for Cherry County is you give a rancher money, he's going to bring it to town, he's going to buy a tractor. So I see progress as lowering your taxes and working to keep the family ranches still in family hands.
All right, thank you, Mike. And finally, James Ward on that question, your comment.
I would like to see our tax base grow. The only way we do that is picking from one of two choices. We either sit here locked into where we are in this county and we die, or we grab our boots and we go forward. We hold our head up and we walk fire and we deal with the issues and the problems that come with it. I want Cherry County to be the place where our children have the ability, the desire, and the opportunity to return to. I want my 14-year-old daughter, who's interested in biogenetic engineering, figure that one out, to have an opportunity to raise her family in Cherry County. If we don't allow businesses to come in and grow and people to start businesses, create jobs, it becomes stagnant. When we become stagnant, we will die. There will be a lowering of the tax base. There will be fewer and fewer and fewer of us to carry that load and that burden. The last census, we lost population. The only way we turn that around is through growth and responsible development. Good job growth will lead to good housing growth. I'm a firm believer in the supply and demand. If we have jobs coming here, people will build houses. You will have the carpenters and the contractors. They will build things. I like to think of myself as an example of progress in Cherry County. I had the opportunity, I had the desire, and I had the ability to come back here and start a business, create, and I have grown that exponentially in the last 10 years. Thank you.
Good timing on that one, James, right at the buzzer. Nina, we've got to get you in on this question, too. We don't want to neglect you down on this end, so please share your thoughts.
All right. Well, thank you. Obviously, progress is absolutely paramount. I mean, we need to grow or, yes, we will suffocate slowly. So growth is absolutely something that needs to be supported. And, again, I will kind of hone in on communication between the different entities. So really, we need to work together on this one. There are so many good things that Cherry County has going here. There is an abundance, a huge abundance between the city, the county, the tourism, the businesses. We just need to talk, guys. We need to actually figure out how to bring the people back, how to attract new people, how to get better housing opportunities, how to get better job opportunities to town. But it can't be done by just one person, and I don't even believe it can be done by just one entity. It needs to be done in a team effort. And there are several different projects I know that they're trying to work on. There's been talk of various things like event centers or fun little deals that we can provide. But some of the things, again, and I'll mention the nursing home here, there's vital things that need to be taken care of first. If we can't provide things like nursing homes for retirees that are looking to come back to the county, they're not going to consider coming here if they don't have continued care. So those are some of the sectors that we need to look at, that we need to support, that we need to talk about. And I think it's vital. Growth is vital. And keeping that continuity and the progress growing and going for future generations. So